Omagyanatmarandasya gananjanaslakaya chaksurmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanyam rupishtam sabhitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam hati svapadantikam pandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam Shigrom Vaishnavam Sra, Shirupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatam, Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sarvaitam Savadutam, Rijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shivasakam, Vitam Sra, Hey Krishna, Karna, Sindho, Dina, Bandho, Dugatate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tata, Kanchena, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavane, Shri, Vrishnavanu, Sita, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vanchakapa, Thurubhyasra, Kripa, Sindhu, Priye, Vita, Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, The Law's Opulence, Text Number 25. Strinam tu shatarupa aham pumsam svayambhuva manu narayana muninam cha kumara brahmacharinam Srinam tu shatarupaham Pumsam svayambhuva manu Narayana muninam cha Kumaro brahmacharinam Srinam tu shatarupaham Pumsam svayambhuva manu Narayana muninam cha Kumaro brahmacharinam Srinam tu shatarupaham Pumsam svayambhuva manu Narayana muninam cha Kumaro brahmacharinam Srinam among ladies two indeed Shatarupa Shatarupa aham I am Pumsam among male personalities Swayambhuva Manu, the great Prajapati Swayambhuva Manu, Narayana, the sage Narayan, Muninam, among saintly sages, Cha, also, Kumara, Sanat Kumara, Brahmacharinam, among Brahmacharis. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, by Śrīla Prabhupāda's disciples. Among ladies I am Shatarupa, Among male personalities, I am her husband, Swayambhuva Manu. I am Narayan among the sages and Sunat Kumar among brahmacharis. Next text, 26. Dharmanam asi sanyasa shemanam avahiramati kuyanam sunritam maunam mitunanam ajastvaham. Among religious principles I am renunciation, and of all types of security I am consciousness of the eternal soul within. Of secrets I am pleasant speech and silence. Among sexual pairs I am Brahma. Purport. One who realizes the eternal soul within no longer fears any material situation, and thus is qualified to accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. Certainly fear is one of the great miseries of material life, therefore the gift of fearlessness is very valuable and represents Lord Krishna. Both in ordinary pleasant speech and silence, very few confidential things are revealed. And thus diplomacy and silence are both aids to secrecy. Lord Brahma is prominent among sexual pairs because the original beautiful couple, Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, emerged from Lord Brahma's body, as explained in chapter 12 of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasgadhyaya De Sitarna. To understand Krishna is obviously not very easy, and even those who have direct contact with Krishna, they don't say that they completely understand Krishna. Otherwise, life would be quite boring, especially in the spiritual world. If one day Srimati Radharani says, you know, we've been together forever and, you know, not much more for me to know about you, maybe we need a little separation to get our hearts to grow a little bit more fonder. Well, first of all, one of the things we have to understand is that we don't understand very much about Krishna. Or, next we should understand that it would be nice if we understood more about Krishna. Because in the material world, Krishna is not, generally amongst conditioned souls, the favorite topic of understanding. People are more interested in whatever their minds are, their feelings are dictating to them. And generally our immediate concerns over this body and our minds are much more important to us, take a greater priority than concerns such as self-realization or becoming Krishna conscious. Even if, what to speak if we were non-devotees, then there is no concern whatsoever to realize ourselves or to realize Krishna. And even amongst the devotees, depending upon our level of spiritual advancement, Krishna consciousness and self-realization may take different levels of priority in our life. Generally, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending take a higher priority than the activities of self-realization. For that reason, we have what's called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means, if I followed my feelings, who knows where I'd go? Well, we know where we'd go. But if I don't follow my feelings, but I follow a sadhana every day, then we hear from the scriptures where we'll go. Therefore, out of intelligence, and hopefully after some period of time, by experience and conviction, we follow sadhana bhakti. And then Krishna says, what is the result of sadhana bhakti? What should we experience? Should we see within a week or two that Krishna and the gopis are in the bushes of Vrindavan by following sadhana bhakti? Is that what we should expect? Or after 10, 20 years, then Krishna, we can hear the sound of Krishna's flute. If not, then the process doesn't really work. What should we expect? Krishna says, Shunai Shunara Uparamed Budhya Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchit Api Chintaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction, with full determination, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. After explaining a very wonderful experience of a yogi who's in meditation on the super soul within the heart, the transcendental experience, then Krishna says to arrive at that place, one has to do certain things, beginning with, for instance, previously, sanischayena yuktavyo yoga nirvina chetasa nirvana pravam karmam styaktva sarama sheshataha manaksavendriya gramam viniyamya samantata. One should control, well, let's get the right words here. One should engage oneself devotional service. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires, born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses and all sides by the mind. In other words, first of all, what's recommended here is that we need determination and faith. So how do we get determination? Can anyone tell us? What's our main obstacle for determination? No one's never experienced these things, so maybe you wouldn't know. Any obstacles for determination? What is determination? What does it mean, determination? Generally, we give a class and we throw out words and everyone shakes their head and doesn't have a clue of what we're talking about. But it's easier to get through the class like that. What does determination mean? Yes?
It means you're absolutely committed to making something happen or carrying something through.
Yeah, well, different degrees. You're not going to determine. You've already set the goal and you're fixed on achieving it and you're not going to let things interfere with it to different degrees. So what's the main obstacles for our determination to become Krishna conscious, Madhuri? Yes, some of us may have experienced those things. And what does Prabhupada say in the Bhagavatam are the two greatest obstacles for the transcendentalist advancing? Anyone have any clue? What are the two obstacles, Bhakti Tim? How do these things practically manifest themselves? Women and wealth. Anyone hear of those things? Women and wealth. They're generally obstacles on the transcendentalists. That problem is that many aspiring transcendentalists fell from the path because of becoming deviated from women and wealth. So deviation is the opposite of determination. And of course, when we say women, for man, women is women, usually. Of course, that's not always the case. And for a woman, man is woman. Although that's not always the case either. Anything's possible in Kali Yuga. Dog, cat, dead body, anything. But objects of sense enjoyment when we talk of women. And wealth is any kind of ability to control the material energy either through money or through influence or whatever, because wealth also means our opulence in many different ways, which janma, aishwarya, shruta, shribya are also different phases of influence in the material world. Janma means our aristocratic birth and our education or our physical material wealth. So these things are attractions because they help us avoid discomfort, and we believe that in the course of time they may help us obtain comfort in the material world. So thinking like that, that these things can help us, of course, who could deny that comfort or protection doesn't help us? Obviously, we're not running around without these things, without any wealth, without any sense enjoyment. But to think that they ultimately will give us protection, they'll solve all our problems, without Krishna consciousness, that's the misconception. They may help us become Krishna conscious, and for our present state of our present situation, they're essential for us in one sense, because without a certain amount of comfort and protection, and without a certain amount of sense gratification, we couldn't progress in Krishna consciousness. We wouldn't have the mental and physical stability. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has advised us that we should also take care of the body, the mind, our social position, etc. And then we can think more easily about our spiritual advancement. But to think that if I perfect my physical, my mental, my emotional, my social situation, then that will lead to perfection, is that's the misconception. Something more has to be added. So, if we are determined to become Krishna conscious, we have some determination, and then some material idea comes along, and immediately we give up the idea of Krishna consciousness, making spiritual progress, that would be rather unfortunate. So here he says, with determination and faith. So the first determination is that I'm not going to be deviated from the path and just fall into sense gratification and the accumulation of material energy, wealth. And faith. Faith means we actually have to believe that there is a goal. If we don't believe there is a goal, then why should we bother trying to obtain it? Prabhupada writes in that verse, Agyas chastridanas cha samshayatma vinashati nanyam lokasti na paro na sukham samshayatma naha. Krishna always gives some contrast. First he says, Sharavam labhate jnanam tatpara samatendriyaha jnana labhva param shantim atrena digachate. That a faithful person who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses quickly achieves its supreme transcendental peace. So, Shraddhavan. Van means to possess, like Bhagavan, one who possesses opulence, or Jnanavan, one who possesses knowledge. So, Shraddhavan, one who actually possesses faith. And what is that faith? What does Prabhupada say the faith is, for those who are scholars of Bhagavad Gita? Those who have read Bhagavad Gita? Yes. That one can reach the goal. Yeah. And what else? And over above that, what does Prabhupada say? Yes. One should and what does it mean to control the senses? Here's my senses. It's about to touch the book. Oh, don't do it. What does it mean to control the senses? Yes, that's the best way of controlling the senses. Not that, oh no, it's going to be touched. No, they're used in Christian service. Wasn't so bad. So over and above that, one should control the senses by using them in Christian service and not using them in the service of sense gratification, or at least regulating the sense gratification. So, determination to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, and faith that there is the goal. So who are the faithless person? Is it possible that someone who's joined the Hare Krishna movement has actually shaven their heads and put on a dhoti and chanting Hare Krishna, they could not be completely faithful? I mean, compared to common people, then obviously there's a great deal of faith to do that. There's great sacrifice. Our parents, I remember when I went home to see my parents after I became a devotee, or at least apparently a devotee, shaving my head, putting on dhoti. I went to visit my parents in New York. They had never seen me in a dhoti and shaven heads. As a matter of fact, Probably the only time they've seen anything similar was in some science fiction movie. So when I walked back, when I walked into my house, I was going to my sister's wedding. Obviously, you heard a gasp. And the first words out of my mother's house is that you can't be here like this. So the next thing I did is just walk out of the house. And then they met me at the bottom of the elevator and said, all right, at least for your sister's wedding, you can be here like this. And then 7 years later, it was the next time I saw them after that. I know all the mothers will. That's the way it is. So, it is not just by putting on a, not that by making that, we may think that's an ultimate, extreme sacrifice. But many people have made that sacrifice and then fallen to Maya a few days later. I know there's one sannyasi, he took sannyas, and the next day he met the girl he was looking for, or she met him. And that was the end of his sannyas. Therefore, what is faith? Prabhupada writes, Agas Chastradana Cha. There are many persons, Prabhupada writes, that apparently they are on a spiritual path, but in their hearts, they don't really accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They may officially follow for some time. Let me get the exact words here. Chapter 4. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in the revealed scriptures, like that. So they have no faith or knowledge of the revealed scriptures. And even those who can cite passages from the revealed scriptures actually have no faith in these words. In other words, we can quote so many different slokas, but we may not, we just use them as weapons. Here, take this. Brahmastra. Ah! you hit me. All right. Oh! They become more or less defenses. We both read the Bible day and night. I read black and you read white. So we use them as more or less defensive weapons or attack, whatever. But we don't really believe what we're saying, because ultimately we can quote something else that contradicts exactly what I just said. And even those who have faith in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead Krishna. They believe, yes, Bhagavad Gita is a great book. Prabhupada said they wrote 700 commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, and of the 700 commentaries in English alone, none of them believed in Krishna, that he's God. They thought, oh, Krishna wrote a good book, but he spoke with a very nice book. Unfortunately, he had a little problem. He was a little egotistical. He thought he was God. But we can pass it up because, you know, everyone has their problems. But anyhow, what he said was good. Just had to ignore his rantings about being God once in a while. Forgive him. And such persons who have no standing in Krishna consciousness, they fall down. So out of the above mentioned persons who have no faith in, are always doubtful and make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next, for then there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. In other words, our main concern is to come to the platform to believe that Krishna exists. I mean, if Krishna exists, everything else is implied. For instance, he's the owner of everything here, which was quite a change of perception for ourselves, which should create a different change of feeling, emotion. If Krishna is the proprietor of everything eternally, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say. We can't even convince Krishna, please, can you just give up some of your attachment to being the owner of everything? Surrender something to us? No, we have to understand that Krishna is by nature the controller of everything, and since we haven't been controlling anything since time immemorial, he has to take up our slack, so to speak, and control things. And yet he's the ultimate enjoyer. We may want to be an enjoyer, but ultimately, unless Krishna is satisfied by our activities, then no one can be satisfied. And that only Krishna is the ultimate well-wisher and benefactor of everyone. That no one can do anything good unless Krishna wills also that such good should be achieved for that person. So understanding that Krishna has a very unique position and no one can rival Krishna in any respect is necessary to have that much faith. We may not be very much aware of Krishna, but we should understand that Krishna is a very, well, is in a unique category as the Ashraya. So with such faith, then we can get the proper ideas, and with the proper ideas, hopefully we can develop eventually the proper understanding, realization, then come out with the proper feelings, mood, so to speak, mood of devotion. So those things are faith. So those things are necessary. Faith and determination. Without them, we can't make any progress in what? And everything here says is centered around the mind. Divine without exception. Well, with all material desires born of mental speculation. In other words, just mental concoctions. I hate them, I love them, I want this, etc., etc. So many different mental concoctions that we're going through all day long. And thus control all the senses and all sides by the mind. In other words, if the intelligence tells us what's good and what's bad, that's one thing. Our intelligence, the super soul within our heart, he's trying to constantly tell us. And we're constantly, at least the conditioned souls generally don't listen to him. They think our conscience is just a botheration, especially in this age. Why is this conscience? I better drink a little bit more. I won't be bothered by all this good and bad stuff. But those who are not so intoxicated and inebriated by material energy, who actually feel that there is such a thing as good and bad, and therefore the question is the intelligence which is telling us that, the mind, we ourselves, the soul, have to accept it and therefore make a determination to follow with our mind and senses what's good and reject what's bad. If we don't do that, we may know everything that's good and do everything that's bad. And feel, at least I know what's good, although some people may consider that I'm bad. So, mental speculation here. Mental speculation, general category means that we're looking over the material world, trying to figure out what's good for me and not necessarily being disturbed in what's bad for others. In other words, we're looking over the material world, contemplating it just for our gain and fear of loss. But Krishna is not in the equation and therefore is considered mental speculation because there is no firm intelligence what's actually good for us and what's actually bad for us. There's no clear understanding. Only in Krishna consciousness can we understand that because the consideration of the soul is there, which is actually what's good for the soul is good for us and what's bad for the soul is bad for us. It may be good for our body temporarily, but if it's bad for the soul, then ultimately it's bad. And it may be good for the body temporarily, but if it's good for self-realization, ultimately it's good. So we have to abandon what's called mental speculation. Now it says, the process is gradually, step by step. So even we get a conviction, I must be determined and follow the process, and I must hear the scriptures and develop faith that Krishna is God and work according to that faith. But Krishna says it's a gradual process. If we do everything correctly, line it all up, then it's gradual. Not I line it all up and next day I become perfect. No, we line it all up. Faith, determination, abandoning material desires, controlling the senses and all sides by the mind. And then gradually we make progress. And how? Towards what? Towards becoming situated in Krishna consciousness. Or here it says trance. And the means is intelligence, sustained by full conviction. So we're getting intelligence by hearing the scripture, and it's supposed to be sustained by realization, by firm conviction. So intelligence here again, as I said before, determination that what's good and what's bad, a clear understanding what's good and what's bad, and then conviction is that faith in the goal, what the goal is. So different words are used here, but it's the same thing again. And thus, the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. In other words, the mind, when we're controlling the senses and all sides by the mind, it is not that we're simply trying to become rigid and control freaks, and there's a thought coming to my mind, a thought, get out of my mind. I'm supposed to control these things, a thought. Call it the deprogrammers, there's a thought. They got my mind controlled. No, we're supposed to think of Krishna. That's the thought. That's what we're trying to put the mind on. And therefore, that's what it means to control the mind. As soon as Krishna is there, then the mind becomes controlled because we know what the higher taste is. If we experience Krishna consciousness, then other things that enter into our mind will not disturb us because they'll be considered tuchavat or insignificant compared to Krishna consciousness. Or in other words, as much as we actually become Krishna conscious, even the disturbances of the material world will not affect us because compared to Krishna consciousness, they'll be seen comparatively insignificant. And eventually, one will be able to think of Krishna and nothing else because nothing else will seem very valuable except for Krishna. Swamin Kritarto Na Vred. Jumara said, I was looking for some broken pieces of glass, but now I found a diamond like you. So in other words, everything we need for self-realization is there. We just have to take advantage of it and not expect to make so much progress in such a short time that we become impatient and accept foolish or deviant ideas in the name of so-called progress. In other words, the conditioned soul, because we're misidentified ourselves with this body, generally we're quite impatient. We think everything has to happen immediately. If it doesn't happen immediately, then we look for a process, however foolish or however deviant or impractical, so that it does happen immediately. Just like in modern society, people imagine that they're going to become cured from their diseases by some miracle, without following a diet, without following any exercise, without following the proper lifestyle, without regulating their habits. Somehow or another, by some miraculous medicine, they're going to become cured. Cured means, for them, generally speaking, the disturbances caused by the disease will be covered over so I can go on with my sense gratification undisturbed. Until finally, the cancer eats through my brain and I can't avoid the fact that I'm a little sick. And no medicine can help me at that time. Similarly, we may want an immediate cure for our materialistic disease, and we want some solution immediately, and therefore we accept some philosophy or some idea or some practice where we can immediately become a gopi in Vrindavan in 6 months or less. But Krishna doesn't recommend that because, number one, we don't really believe in Krishna. What to speak of the gopis? We don't even have much faith in the demigods when you really get down to it, that they're controlling everything. We're not even so sure what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. What to speak of who spoke it? And yet we want to become gopis in Vrindavan in 6 months, or if possible less, if this is a shortcut. No, so we have to understand what the process is through the process of hearing, so we can discriminate properly, and by such discrimination gain knowledge, and by such knowledge develop our faith, and by such faith develop the proper mood of devotion, so that gradually we can make progress, and therefore, with less difficulty, understand Krishna and fix our minds upon him, at least our service to him, become more determined in our daily service to him, and therefore not become deviated from the path. And then Krishna will explain about these things even further. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is a very helpful book. It's not something that you read once and then think, well, anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita must be a neophyte, so I want to avoid this book. Because I don't want, you know, I've been practicing for at least 3 years, and I must be beyond a neophyte level like everyone else is. So let me avoid this book because it's too philosophical. There's not enough devotion. Krishna was speaking to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, dry philosophy, because, you know, he had to prepare Arjuna for a battle. Didn't want him to get too emotional. Therefore he spoke all this dry philosophy. No, we shouldn't take it like that. We should understand that this is our key to actually come to the platform where we can develop purify our consciousness, our emotions, our feelings, our ideas, our conceptions, so that one day we can actually begin to experience what spiritual feelings and emotions and ideas really are. Without that, Srimad Bhagavatam is difficult to understand, what to speak of other books like Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I don't have to take it as everyone understood everything, or everyone's so confused they can't even ask a question. What did he say? What was that class about? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, could you go back to the point you made about
Well, you know, that we neglect following the actual process?
Yeah. Well, that we consider that something else is, not that we neglect it, but that we consider something else is, I'm losing the word I need.
Well, generally speaking, everyone knows we have certain anarthas. What those anarthas are, whether they're gross or subtle. Generally, the gross anarthas are more obvious. Like we have a chant, this before us are two books, Time Magazine and Back to Godhead. We have to make a decision. And it's not always so obvious which decision the devotee is going to make and for what reasons. So that's just an obvious thing. Or we may think that let me go and see this movie called Avatar. Because I'm doing a paper on avatars for my contempt for the back to Godhead. And so I want to see what the latest understanding of avatars are for the general public. So we may get some idea that this is a bona fide service to the society, so that I go and see the Avatar movie. Maya is quite tricky. Or we may think, well, let me take prasadam, for instance, but I have to catch up on my email, so let me eat prasadam at the same time, catch up on my email. So that may not be recommended either. That may not be such a obvious anartha, but neither will be able to eat honor prasadam nor concentrate on the email. So there are many varieties. Or actually, I'm doing so much service, I'm distributing so many books, I'm actually the savior of so many souls, and when they read my name, how many books I distributed within my heart, externally I'm humble. But within my heart I say, oh, yes, that's so true, isn't it? I'm such a nice person. Finally people have realized it. Let me hear that jai again. Jai! So in that way it's subtle and grossly. There may be some problems sometimes. Anything else? Yes.
You made the point that we satisfy Krishna, that everyone is satisfied.
Yes.
But if you can explain this,
well, the example used is Ita Tura Mula Nishechinena Tripyanti Tatskanda Bujopashaka Prahanaratscha Yatendriyanam Sarvapanam Tataiva Sarvapanam Atiteja. If you water the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. If you supply food to the stomach, then naturally all the different parts of the body is served. If you serve the Supreme Lord, then naturally all the different demigods and all living entities are satisfied. So we may think we're satisfied now, just like even Prabhupada says the worm in the stool feels satisfied. It's warm, it's comfortable, the food's free, no paying for the rent. I can maintain my children and my family without any problem. So he's satisfied, but that type of satisfaction is different from the actual satisfaction one gets when one actually becomes conscious of Krishna. But one can only become conscious of Krishna if one renders service to Krishna. So only by rendering service to Krishna and do we become conscious of Krishna, and only then can we begin to realize what real satisfaction is. Otherwise we may imagine that we're satisfied sometimes, but the next moment we become dissatisfied. So that kind of satisfaction is different from the actual satisfaction one gets when one actually becomes conscious of Krishna. Is that right? Upon gaining this, Guru says, in that verse before, the ones I read, upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no great again. Gain. Yam lava chapalam lavam manitain adikam tata isminstito nadukena gurunati vichalyate. Upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain, and being situated in such a position, one is not disturbed even in the greatest material difficulty. So when one is satisfied with Krishna consciousness, even if there's some external material difficulty, one still remains satisfied. One is not disturbed by gain or loss. One remains fixed in consciousness of Krishna. Anything else? Yes. Well, I guess we actually follow the process of Sarana Bhakti and avoid the things that diminish our faith, such as Atyahara, Priyasas Cha, Prajalpo, Niyamagraha, Jana Sangat Siloyam Cha, Shadvir Bhakti, Vinashiti. eating too much or collecting too much, endeavoring for mundane things or idle conversation, not following the rules and regulations or following them without proper understanding, being greedy for mundane achievement, and associating with worldly-minded persons. These tend to diminish our faith, our experience in Krishna consciousness. Faith is, one sense, we have theoretical faith, some idea of what the goal is. The other thing is our practical awareness. When we're practically, as much as we're in the higher modes of nature at least, to that much we have faith. If we're in the mode of goodness, or we have some consciousness in the mode of goodness, then things are clear. When we sink into ignorance and passion, then our minds become disturbed or become very dull, and then our faith diminishes because our experience diminishes. So what brings us to goodness will increase our faith, and what puts us in ignorance and passion will diminish. Yes.
How does the body still rise and maintain determination?
Well, I guess one thing is to follow the four regular principles and then try to engage ourselves as without deviation, with much sincerity, a purpose to please Krishna, so that we get a higher taste and therefore not become deviated by hankering at or lamenting over the lower taste. So practice. Practical devotional service in Krishna consciousness. And hearing, so that when other ideas come to our mind, we don't take them as seriously as we did previously. Yes.
Just on the same question, I find it hard to understand. You know, like we do service to Krishna here, or the devotees do. So how outsiders or they feel satisfied, or any other religion?
Well, they may not. I don't think the people on the outside will feel satisfied if they whatever they do. But if the devotees are actually engaged sincerely in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna is manifesting himself like he did in the heart of Vidura, and therefore everyone felt the transcendental happiness by feeling Krishna's presence. So great sages like Vidura or Srila Prabhupada, he was able to manifest Krishna in this world to the extent that even ordinary people could feel Krishna's presence. But our devotional service may not be so intense, so that Krishna is so manifest in our heart that even we feel him, but to speak of anyone else. So we have to come to that stage. The more we come to that stage, the more we can affect the lives of others. But in any case, the fact that there are Hare Krishnas in the world means that people will talk about the Hare Krishnas. Either the Hare Krishnas are bad, or the Hare Krishnas are good, or just ignore the Hare Krishnas. In any case, they're talking about the Hare Krishnas. And to that extent, they're getting Krishna's association to some little extent. So it may not be a great feeling of satisfaction, but it's much more than they ever had before. As Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, the darkness can't put the match out. So Krishna's appearance, even to the smallest extent, gives people more satisfaction than they had previously. Yes. Well,
my question is, when doing service, am I to think to execute the service properly? But that thinking process is not directly remembering Krishna. So is that to be called that you are thinking?
Oh, we should think we're doing this service for Krishna first. And if we think we're doing it for Krishna, automatically remember Krishna. Not that we have to struggle to remember Krishna during the service, so that neither we remember Krishna nor we do the service. But before we do the service, we should think, I'm doing it for Krishna, then naturally we'll remember him while we're doing it. If someone's working their office all day long for their girlfriend or their wife, you know, the wife doesn't have to call up every 15 minutes to remind him why he's doing his work. He naturally knows why he's doing the work. And when it comes time to deal with the paycheck, he knows who to give it to. Anything else?
Yes.
So I just going back a little bit to something that Swarup Shakti brought up, and that was also in the class today, talking about maintaining faith and strengthening our faith. Sometimes one of the things that can be difficult in some of the ways in maintaining and strengthening faith, it's only one thing I do realize that it's not the whole thing, is when we sometimes look around and suddenly feel that somebody we felt, or more than some people in the world we felt, we had come to understand were a lot more advanced than we were, and that we looked up to, no matter whether they're our peers or wherever. I'm not talking about a particular strata or the organisation at all. Talk a lot about Krishna consciousness that don't actually seem to behave in ways that Krishna would approve of, particularly in terms of belittling.
This is getting a really complicated question. Can you make it a little simple?
Not taking care of what belongs to Krishna, really simple things.
Yeah.
Simple fundamental things. But most important, probably just thought.
How could something be simple and not fundamental and most important? How could something be simple and how could something be very important, or simple and unimportant at the same time be very important? Okay. Anyhow, Rupa Goswami, if I get your question right, and even if I don't get it right, we don't have that much time, but Krishneti yasya giritam manase driyeta. Our first duty is to respect the devotees within our minds, those who are at least chanting Hare Krishna. So if we can do that, that will be very valuable for us. Then we don't have to play the part of the super soul trying to correct everyone. But there's the, as one of our mundane acharyas has said, there's our area of concern and our area of influence. So if something's within our area of influence, our responsibility, then we may have to, under proper circumstances, see how to deal with people who are not following. But if it's only within our area of concern and not actual influence, then we shouldn't take it so seriously. We should note what people are doing wrong and learn from them what we shouldn't do wrong. And we should note what they're doing right and learn from them what we should do right, but not deal with them directly if we're really not going to be very effective in dealing with them. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Ki Jai.